Hello, hello, and welcome back to On the Reg podcast with your host, me, Reggie. This is part two of a conversation with Jocelyn Banks. In the previous conversation, we were having just a general discussion about his life and what it's like to be a working gig artist. But now things get a little more specific and nuanced. We're having discussions about being tapped in, honing in on your craft, and creating those memorable and lasting moments, and how to do that consistently. I hope you enjoyed part one. Stay tuned because part two is here.
We feel as artists that it is braggadocious, or we are trying too hard to sell ourselves when we list all the various things that we do. But in the same breath, like, be ready and be good at that thing. Don't just have a list of things that you do, and you know, you say that you are a wig and hair designer, and all that you know is you grew up at your mama's beauty shop. That's not, if you haven't touched it, what are you going to do with it, friend? Like, you have to be prepared when they ask about those things.
100%. Yeah. Show and prove. I don't want to keep you for too long, but like, I want to talk specifically about vulnerability and just why you feel like it's important, because I could talk about it. You know, I could talk about the intention and the intimacy and the necessary clarity and emotional intelligence that you need to portray a character clearly and effectively. But I think that some people would, well, I'm also a professional. I'm not even gonna, you know, let me not short myself in any way.
You're not doing that.
But I also want others to get a different viewpoint from this, because I'll be talking about it a little bit, but I won't get into all of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. I think that vulnerability is beyond important, and knowing how to tap into those feelings and those portions of yourself. It is literally the very thing that I feel was a jumping off point for me in my career, and also what separates me from other artists. Mm. I feel like people call me in because they know that I'm willing to go there, wherever that is, however far, however in terms of joy or sorrow or pain, loss, grief, like whatever those emotions are, I finally learned how to tap into those things. And it was something that I shied away from because I was teased. I was teased being a young, you know, gay Black man growing up. And I'm also an artist, and I'm also a Cancer. And
I thought you were a Cancer. I was like, okay, let me figure this out. You know, but you was talking about separating and doing all of these new experiences, and I was like, you a different kind of Cancer.
I am a different kind of Cancer.
You build different, but that's okay. Uh-huh. That's okay. Uh-huh. Love it. Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Vulnerability.
No. It's totally fine. I was teased most of my youth about being sensitive, emotional, and it was always paired with emasculating me, and like I would get tags like sissy or faggot, that would all go along with that. Right. And what I learned in my adulthood, that it is not that at all. And in fact, I think it is showing the power in that vulnerability is the most masculine that I've ever felt. The whole philosophy that we tell young Black men that it is not okay to cry is absolute BS. And I don't, that within itself is a whole thing that like people are literally deep in therapy to try to get over.
People are dying from that.
Yeah.
Like we like, let's just lay it out there. People are dying from that. Mm-hmm. You know, when people attach labels to you, you have the opportunity to accept or reject those labels. Mm-hmm. And I feel like whenever we are receiving these labels, no matter how true they are, no matter how they're framed, if there's any type of truth and we still try to resist that, then we end up blocking our own blessings.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you are growing up and you don't have anybody to reinforce the good things about you, mm-hmm. you know, no matter how other people can be saying great things about you. And I'm saying great things in quotes, but saying it in such a nasty and malicious way that it'll have you out here really doubting who you are as a person and then giving away your power.
Oh, yes.
So like when we talk about vulnerability and like you said, being emotional, but having that emotion looked down upon instead of teaching folks how to work with it or how to understand it, you know, that is a hindrance. It's a block and it absolutely needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. It needs to be dealt with overall, but yes. like in terms of bringing that to the craft, we need to know how to be able to channel those experiences
yes.
and bring forth that emotion through the text.
Yep.
And that is not something that is easy for most.
Correct. Yeah.
And I don't think that it is healthy to directly put your life experiences in the shoes of your character mm-hmm. because this is not a therapy session. This is not what we're doing. That right. you putting that trauma and that stress on your body every day to get you there is not the way to do it. But having those life experiences and knowing how they made you feel and tying that parallel to a character.
Yes.
And being able to play that emotion. That's the difference.
I love that you said that so much. I know that I'm a sensitive person. I empathize. I cannot help it. I really like, I'm curious about people's stories. I like the backgrounds. I like to see what led people up to where they are now. But because I take in so much of my environment and ask people questions about how they're feeling and I'm willing to listen and just like, let that be that. I have such an emotional reservoir of experiences to draw from. Mm-hmm. Now, some of those are my own and I can go to certain places, but I, like you said, it is kind of dangerous to be in that place if you're not guided or you don't have someone willing to be a lifeline for you. So I typically try to use other people's experiences looking in
right.
from the outside.
Right.
And that allows me to recall that vulnerability. That allows me to relay these emotional experiences and stimuluses and feelings mm-hmm. to tell the story. That's how I operate. I typically am more excited by people that are vulnerable enough to let these emotions be reflected out through their craft, as opposed to just like imitating or simulating these emotions, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel that sometimes, specifically with theater, we have a habit of just imitating the motions and some of the processes instead of actually like saying, okay, well, to what degree would this person be feeling this? You know,
yeah.
like, cause it's a gradient.
It absolutely
is a whole gradient.
And I love so much about theater that it is live performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm learning more about film right now, but the art of theater, I love so much about it because you have so many chances to get it right.
Yep.
You have so many chances to explore the emotion within. Mm-hmm. And then also knowing that every day it is a different audience. It is going to be a different opportunity
mm-hmm.
and it is going to be a different playground.
Yep. Yes.
And it is just different. So even if yesterday you felt, I didn't really feel like I tapped in. Someone is receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is receiving that. And then the following day, you now have another opportunity to give it a
exactly. Give it a go. If your rhythm wasn't lined up in that moment,
you have another shot.
Yeah, you can get in step.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yes.
And that's beautiful. It is a practice. You know, it is a skill set within itself. I love what you said about putting your body through and going through the motions, because a lot of people do feel like they have to like go through this heavy thing within their body. And it's like, that's not the work. Mm-mm. Like, sure, you need your body. We warm up our bodies to be able to get there. But literally, you should have a different reaction every time. Say one day you have, this is your co-star, and then the next day your co-star is out. Now you have a new body. You have their understudy. You're right. Not about to get the same. You're not about to get the same reactions from them. You have to be able to receive and play with them. Otherwise, you're doing a disservice to the show. And it is literally a slap in the face for whoever you're acting with, because you're literally just waiting for them. Essentially, you're waiting for them to finish saying their lines so that you can say something. You can say your text in the pattern that you have ready to recite in your mind.
Ooh.
Are you kidding?
You know, it's crazy because, like, I've been told the opposite.
What's that?
That, like, it needs to be the same. Every audience deserves the same performance, the same energy, da 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 da. And I've never resonated with that. And I can never tell you why, but...
It's not for me. I mean, like, they're going to get the same lines. But I look forward to having that freshness, because I feel like that's a thing that also separates seasoned performers and new babies coming into the thing, right? Mm-hmm. We always look at seasoned performers and we're like, oh, they're always so great. They, you know, have mastered their skill, yada, yada, yada. But then we have the new babies that come in and they are so eager for the opportunity that we need to, there are portions of both that mm-hmm. we need to be able to have within our career at all times.
You better say that.
We have to stay bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and want fresh experiences. And for me, that is the thought process of knowing that every day this is going to be different. I look forward to going on stage each day and saying the exact same lines. And from opening night to closing night, finding out the things within that text that have spoke to me differently. Because also at the end of a run of a show, I am a different person. I am not the same person. I shouldn't be. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe people aren't looking to grow, but I should not be the same performer that I was when I started a contract then on closing day of that show. I should not be. Each time that I play a different person, a different role, a different character, that is all tying to portions of my life and who I am becoming.
Mm.
Because all of our characters are, although they are different people, they are portions of ourselves.
Yes.
That's why we're able to give so much. That's why successful actors are hired over and over again, because we are able to give portions. And that is a key word, a portion mm-hmm. of who I am is in this person. I can't give it all.
No, because I need something.
That's not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't give you all of me. But I understand this. I understand this person. I understand what they are going through. And I am on that journey with them. You are holding their hand. They are now you. That's mm-hmm. for that portion of time. And then you move on to the next journey. And then again, that is now I'm excited to find out what am I doing next.
And you know, I think that's a part of vulnerability that we don't talk about, is the willingness to see things through to the end and then be able to let go and move on to the next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get in a lot of casts And I do a lot of productions, and people get real, real sad and cry on final performances. And that has just never been my life. And I always like, not to say that it is bad for anyone to cry or like, you know, want like miss their friends, but like, yes, I do miss you, but like you get my phone number, boo. Like, we just hit me up.
Right.
Like, you know what
this
I mean?
This isn't good. Bye. This is see you later.
It's not at all. And I'm just excited to be able to move on to the next chapter and figure out like what is this new book that I'm about to open and experience and this new set of friends that I'm about to make. And where in the world am I going? Like that, all of that is so exciting to me. So I as excited as I am for opening nights, I'm also excited for closings, because it's just like, even if I don't have a show booked, I know that something is to come. And that is thrilling for me.
I love that. I love that so much. But you got to be open and willing enough to receive the next. If you still cling into whatever, then
I'm going to miss the blessing coming up.
Okay, I see. All right, cool. So I'm the one that needed this. Thank you. Thank you very much. I see you.
No problem.
Josh, this has been an absolute joy. And I guess I'll close out with this sort of question. You know, you mentioned that you're working on your craft, you're honing and learning a new skill set. Mm-hmm. But so maybe this is part of it, but how have you been handling the pandemic during this time? Like, what have you been doing to sustain yourself or keep yourself like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
That's a very good question. I was actually talking to another friend about this the other day, and I just can't thank God enough, because 2020 was an absolute devastating year for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I would be remiss if I did not start what I'm about to say with that, because I thoroughly understand that. And it was devastating to a lot of people that are close to me. And being an empath, I definitely felt that, you know? Mm-hmm. But I thank God for sustaining me, because then I was able to be there for my people. Mm-hmm. During the time, I spent majority of the time getting to know me. Before 2020 began, it was the first time in my life where I had a year's worth of shows booked around the world where I was the lead in every one, and it wasn't just one show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I've been the lead of a show and it toured, you know, but I did the one show. This was the first time in my career where I had been hired in multiple productions, and in every single one, all across the country, I was to play the lead.
Wow.
And I was so proud of that, because I had never had that.
As you should be.
I also had never had just being booked for an entire year. Like, from February of 2020, I had work through March of 2021. Wow. Like, consecutive contracts. And I think like the most time I had off between were like 2 weeks. And so, yeah, I was thrilled about that. And so coming home, because I was in Canada doing Kinky, during the Canadian premiere of Kinky, when we got the news about, you know, coronavirus and everything shutting down, and I had to come back to America, that was devastating, because I got phone call after email after email of cancellations. And that didn't feel good, but I knew that I wasn't alone. And that I think is what got me through, like, knowing that all of the artist community was hurting, you know, and that I've always been a light, and I needed to continue to be that, even though I felt dim. Mm. And so I decided to take this time to really fall back in love with myself. Mm. Because I was also in a relationship for 5.5 years, and kind of like I ended that relationship a few months after coming home from Kinky, and like all within that breakup, I also booked a bunch of things, so I never really had time to
sit with myself.
And I thought, what an incredible gift to literally take everything away from me and sit me in my apartment by myself and have me figure my stuff out. So I took that time to figure out what is it that I'm good at now. Who am I now? Now that I've had all of these experiences, now that I've traveled across the world, now that I've done all these things, designed all of these shows, what else can I do? So I decided to do things. I made a tote, a leather tote bag. I made a coat. I with my godmother, we are currently making a wedding dress. We've done two now. I redecorated my apartment. I painted my walls. I'm now a plant dad.
Love that for you.
You know what I mean? Like I took the time to invest in myself in other ways and be creative in other ways, because I knew that I needed to channel that energy again, channel that energy into something else. If I'm not going to perform right now, what is it that I can do? And every opportunity that I got, that someone would come to me and say, hey, would you like to do a reading of my show? You know, it's not paying anything, like $25, but yes, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
So why not? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is a networking opportunity. And so I took this year and said yes to everything that I could. And it's been a huge blessing. I've learned so much more about myself as an artist and just as a person. And then I turned 30. So it was just like a new chapter. And although like I always thought like on my 30th birthday, I would have like a big birthday bash, or like, cause I normally don't do much for my birthday. My birthday's in the summer, it's July 7th. So I'm used to people like being on vacation or being away and not being able to do anything. But I thought, last year would have been the year for me to do something, but it wasn't. And that was totally okay. But yeah, I entered my new chapter, falling in love with myself all over again. And really just also thinking back on all of my accomplishments, because we don't sit and think about all of the things that we've overcome enough. And that within itself is worth praise. Like, we made it. We are still here.
I love that you said the things that you've overcome. Absolutely. Instead of the things that you've achieved. Because that in itself is a perspective shift. You know what I mean? You know, we have a tendency to focus on the materialistic, because we are in a capitalistic society.
The world teaches us to be that way.
Absolutely.
Collect things as you go.
But also, like, you know, personal growth, overcoming these challenges, whatever they are, however personal they may be, is something that should be celebrated more. So I love that you said that, and I love that you put things in perspective. And perspective is something that we absolutely need at this moment in time. Perspective allows us to see the bigger picture and hope for a better tomorrow. Yeah. Special thank you to Jocelyn Banks for joining us on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time and the energy to speak with me and other folks who want to know more about theater. And to those of you who are listening to this podcast and hearing the sound of my voice and Joss's, thank you for your patience. I hope all is well with you. And let's all make a vow to be a little kinder to not only each other, but ourselves in the next coming months. Things are opening back up. We're finally starting to get past the COVID phase, the pandemic. And even though it's not over, we still are seeing progress. So please, please, please be cautious, be safe, be aware, and support your local arts. Thank you so much. Peace. Peace.